Now, those of you that remember the Galatian study book or have looked at the Galatian study book, if we take Brother Copley's remark there that the first three members of the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, express our attitudes towards God and man, he goes on to say the second trio, the long-suffering, the gentleness, and the goodness, are to be our attitudes towards men or towards others specifically. That being the case, it turns out that the first three, the love, joy, peace, are both the motivation as well as the enabling for the second three. Okay? If we know and are enjoying and experiencing the love, joy, and peace of God, that's going to be our inspiration as well as the enabling to exhibit long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness to others. Okay? Whoever's in Exodus 34, read verse 6 for us.
The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth.
Okay. And then in Psalm 86, whoever's there, verse 15.
But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth.
Okay. Now these are just two occurrences of the word long-suffering in the Old Testament. There's more. But these occurrences are all number 750 in the Strong's Hebrew. The Hebrew word arak. And whoever's in Jeremiah 17, read verse 3 for us.
O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy works.
Is that Jeremiah 17, 3?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay, let's have a look at that. Okay, all right, it's not three. Stand by. Gotta find it here. All right, it's important, so I'm going to have to look it up. Stand by. This is one, Joe, that I can't skip over. actually, let me just check something real quick. I was flipping back and forth in references between two different books. And I may have just made a mistake there. Ah, yes. I'm sorry, Bob. Ezekiel 17:3.
Come on, Bob.
Close. Come on, Bob.
Come on, yeah, Bob, too.
My apologies.
And say, thus saith the Lord God, a great people, with great land, long name, full of presence, and came into Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar.
Okay, that phrase, an eagle that's long of wing, that word arak, number 750, is the same word there. It means long, to be long of feather or long of wing. All right, and I thought that's so unusual, so interesting, but as I was meditating on that, I got to thinking, as overcomers, as potentials for the throne, we're encouraged to mount up in our high places. We're encouraged to soar. Many references are made to the eagle in that respect. And we have this word long-suffering here. Number 750 comes from number 748, and number 748 means to prolong, to delay, to defer, to retard, to tarry, to postpone, to continue a long time. It means to be patient or to be slow to something. Okay? Bob, if you would, in Ezekiel 31. And when you get there, verse 5.
Therefore the height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and its boughs were multiplied, and its branches became long, and the multitude of waters when he shot forth.
Okay. It says his branches became long. And the picture there, it's describing the growth of a branch on a tree. How fast does a branch grow?
Slow.
Okay. And that's the thought behind this word arak, something that takes a long time. That's not the idea of slow, but it's patient in developing. And that patience, that long time, is a good thing. Now, thinking again about long suffering and being long of wing or feather. If you look at a comparison, of the size of some birds' wings to their bodies. These up here, the Andean condor, the herons, I don't know, how many have ever seen herons way, way, way up there, just little tiny dots floating around as they migrate. If you know about the wandering albatross, it's a seabird, and it will fly for hours, for miles, tens, hundreds of miles, looking for food. The interesting thing about these birds, in particular, let me just write some things in here for you. These birds all have wingspans of 6 to 12 feet. That's more than the length of those six chairs there that Joe and Chrisette are sitting at. A bird, you know, the size of a football, maybe a little bit bigger, with a wingspan that big. Okay? That's typical of these birds. But thank you, ma'am. And then you have another class, your eagles, your hawks, and your geese. And their wingspan will run in the range of 4 to 6 feet. Okay? And they still get up there pretty high. What's the highest, Ty, do you know off the top of your head, what's the highest that birds have ever been encountered in aircraft?
33,000 feet.
33,000 feet. Okay.
But it was kind of unusual because it was, they were riding the jet stream.
Yeah, but still, they got to that altitude and they were obviously conscious. That's almost 33,000 feet is almost a mile higher than Mount Everest. Okay.
Isn't
that
freezing though?
What's that?
Freezing.
Oh yeah. That's why they have lots of feathers. Okay, so here we have these birds that get very, very high, but they don't soar like these do. These birds, because of their wings, they can stay up for hours. Okay, those of you that might be familiar with how many have ever seen gliders? What's the interesting characteristic about gliders? They got huge wings on them. And those pilots of those gliders, like some of these birds, those pilots will actually search around for thermals, warm air that's rising, because they can take advantage of those thermals to gain altitude. And those of you that might be a little more on the technological side, you might remember the U-2 spy plane. Mm-hmm. Thing had huge long wings. They were like 60 or 70 feet from wingtip to wingtip. But that plane could stay up for hours. A typical mission was 14 or 16 hours long because of the huge wingspan. It was able to get up there and soar, okay?
60,000 to 70,000 feet.
Exactly. 60 or 70,000 feet, twice what a normal airliner flies at, okay? The air is thin up there. It's not like it is down here. And yet those things can get up there and stay up for so long because they've got those huge wings, okay? Then you have another class of birds, ravens, falcons, and owls. Their wings generally run 3 to 5 feet long. And they fly. I mean, falcons, ravens, owls, they can fly a good distance. But you don't see them soar too much. You know, they don't get up there and just coast around. And, you know, they're usually going somewhere. But they don't soar like these other two groups do. And then you have pigeons, doves, and crows. And 1 to 2 foot wingspan, okay? You get down into these guys, and you start, they can fly, and they can fly distances. Anybody ever heard of passenger pigeons?
Yes.
They were used as messenger devices? Mm-hmm. So they can fly a long ways. But as you come down this list, you're seeing birds that spend more time on the ground. They don't soar. These birds soar. That's where what they were built for, with those long wings. These birds, in relation to their body size, the wings are getting stubbier, okay, shorter. Then you come down to common birds, your sparrows, your jays, house birds like that. Wingspan is 1 foot or less, okay? So you can say 1 foot there. Then you come down to quail, grouse, and pheasants, and birds like that. They can fly, but if you've ever been around them, how far do they fly? And then they run. They don't fly very far. And they got little wings like this. You know, ever seen a baby chick? These are full-grown birds, and they look kind of like those baby chicks, almost, with their little short wings. But they can fly. Okay? So, typically, you know, wingspan may be about the same as these birds, but they're bigger. They just don't, they can't soar because they don't have wings that are big enough for their body. And then finally, you come to birds. They are birds, like the ostrich and the kiwi. Those are flightless birds. They cannot fly, no matter how hard they try. And you talk about short wings. They got these little stubs out here that go like this. They can't fly. They are condemned to the ground. All right? Now, thinking about long-suffering, which is patience, among other things, we read the list there. Going back to long-suffering means to prolong, delay, defer, tarry, postpone, be patient, be slow to what? Slow to things like maybe anger, Joe? Yeah. Long-suffering. To be long of wing. Where do you suppose the term short fuse came from?
My attitude.
Do you think we should be long-winged? Amen. I think we should if we want to soar.
Amen.
Is it only me that sees another correlation here? Between ranks? There's going to be a rank that are going to be earth dwellers. They won't have the ability to fly. They will never leave the earth because they didn't have long wings. I want to have long wings.
Amen.
Amen.
Interesting. Okay. So there in Ezekiel 31, the word long is used to describe the growth of branches. Somebody go to Proverbs 14, someone to Romans 2, someone to 2 Corinthians 6. And whoever's in Proverbs 14, verse 29.
He that is slow to wrath, of great understanding, but hasty of spirit, exalteth folly.
Okay, the same word. This is a person who is of this quality of long-suffering is said to be of great understanding or great wisdom. I'd like to have that said about me. But I've got to have long wings. If I'm going to soar, if I'm going to stay up there, I've got to have long wings, long feathers. Whoever's in Romans 2, verse 4.
Who despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?
Okay. And then in chapter 9, Ty, verse 22.
What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?
Okay. Let's have somebody go to Ephesians 4, someone to Colossians 1, someone to 1 Timothy 1, and whoever's in 2 Corinthians 6, the first 10 verses, please.
We then, as workers together with them, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he has said, I have heard thee, and times accepted. And in the day of salvation have I served thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Give me your offense in anything that the ministry be not blessed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience and affliction, in necessity, in distresses, in strifes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watching, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well, as dying and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things.
Okay, see, if we would be workers together with the Lord of Paul's stature, and if we want to find ourselves approved as the ministers of God, look how many things are connected with long suffering. Long suffering is right there in the middle of the list. But look what it's surrounded by. Whoever's in Ephesians 4, the first three verses there.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called the one hope of your calling.
Okay.
Verse 4.
Okay. And notice what accompanies long suffering there. Colossians 1. Whoever's there, let's see. Let's start reading in verse 9 and go through verse 11.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness.
Okay. Did you catch the word all?
Yes.
In those three verses?
Yes.
Three times, at least, in three verses. All pleasing?
Yes.
Do we want to soar?
Amen. Amen.
First Timothy 1, whoever's there, verses 11 through 16.
According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Albeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to live life everlasting.
Okay. And notice what he says there in verse 16. The Lord took Paul and used him to set forth a pattern of long suffering for you and I.
Yes.
So as disappointed, as discouraged as I can get with Scott sometimes, the long suffering that was there that took Paul from being the chief of sinners to the master of ceremonies for the wedding is there for you and I.
Okay.
And that same long suffering, that same grace will transform us just as faithfully and to the same extent that it did Paul. All right? 2 Timothy 3, if somebody will go there, someone to 2 Peter 9, or 2 Peter 3. And whoever's in 2 Timothy 3, verse 10.
But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience.
Okay. You think Paul had that long-suffering as a Pharisee?
No.
He didn't have any trouble killing people for professing Jesus. And then Chrisette, chapter 4 and verse 2.
Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine.
Hmm. That would be an impossibly tall order for anyone except Christ in us.
Amen.
Okay, all long-suffering. 2 Peter 3, whoever's there, verse 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Okay. And what a tremendous example there. He's long-suffering because he doesn't want to see anybody. Hell wasn't created for man. As we know, he didn't want to see anybody go there. And I don't remember why, but the example came up the other day, I think, when I was talking to my wife. The example of Judas Iscariot. The Lord loved him right up to, the end, right. to that moment Amen. That he took the sop. Amen. And then it was, what you do, go do quickly. But he loved him right up to that moment, knowing what he was going to do. And then 2 Peter 3, 9, verse 15.
Did you say verse 15? 2 Peter 3, 15?
Uh-huh.
And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you.
Okay. Now, all of these verses that we read in the New Testament, the word long-suffering is number 3115 in the Strong's Concordance. It's the Greek word makrothomia, and it comes from number 3114, which is the opposite of being hasty. It means to endure patiently as opposed to losing faith or giving up. Specifically, it means patience with respect to persons. There's another Greek word entirely that's used for the patience we need to have with a situation or an occurrence. In other words, an inanimate something. This word deals specifically with patience towards others. All right? It's the exercising of understanding and patience toward another. And if somebody will go to Numbers 14, someone else to Psalm 86, and someone back to 1 Timothy 1, we will find in these three scriptures that this idea of long-suffering is also intimately connected with mercy. Where was in Numbers 14, verse 18?
The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation.
Okay. Psalm 86, whoever's there, verse 15.
But thou, O Lord, art God, full of compassion, and gracious, and long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth.
Okay. And finally, whoever's in 1 Timothy 1, verse 16.
Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting.
Okay, so there you see the mercy. Paul says, I obtained mercy because the Lord wanted to create a pattern of long-suffering in me to be an encouragement to all those that would come after me. All right? So, there is long-suffering, and I hope that whenever you read this word in the future, you will always think, immediately your mind will go to being long-winged.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? To soar. In the Old Testament, the word gentleness, moving on to the next fruit, the word gentleness is number 6038 in the Strong's Hebrew. This word is also interesting. If somebody will go to Psalm 18 and someone to 2 Corinthians 10, this word sets forth the dual qualities that are gained by saints in the school of affliction. And those two qualities are humility and meekness.
Yes.
Now, you see how I told you that the first three fruits of the Spirit are the inspiration and the enabling for the second three. So here we have these dual qualities that are obtained in the school of affliction, humility and meekness. And that's what gentleness in the Old Testament referred to. The ability to be and want to be gentle because of the humility and meekness that had been worked in me by the affliction. Now, these two qualities are associated with a life of contented suffering rather than one of worldly happiness and abundance. Okay? They're associated with a life of contented suffering rather than worldly happiness and abundance. Whoever's in Psalm 18, read verse 35 for us.
Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me off, and thy gentleness hath made me great.
Huh. Isn't that amazing? Thy gentleness hath made me great. In other words, what the psalmist was saying there was, your humility and weakness is what has elevated me and given me the place that I have. Okay, then in 2 Corinthians 10, moving to the New Testament, whoever's there, read verse 1 for us.
Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you, but being absent and bold toward you.
Okay. In the New Testament, the word gentleness is number 1932 in the Strong's Greek, and it means seemly or suitable, equitable, fair. One commentator translates it as sweet reasonableness. I like that. It can also translate in Galatians 6 here. Let's look for a moment at Galatians 6 verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of
meekness.
Why should we do that? Considering thyself, pardon me, lest thou also be tempted. So we have here the thought of clemency. And you might remember that that story in the Gospels. Remember the two men that owed debts? And they were both forgiven. And the one man went out, and somebody owed him money, and he threw him in jail. And when the original master found out, he said, well, you're not only going to pay up what you owe, you're going to jail too. I was merciful to you. Why weren't you merciful in turn to someone else? You see what Paul says here. Restoring such a one, considering thyself. Okay? Like, if the tables were turned, what would you prefer? To be lovingly restored or condemned and kicked out the door? Okay? So the considering thyself here. This idea of clemency is part of that definition of that word gentleness. Now, in Galatians 5 here, in the list of the fruit of the Spirit, the word gentleness becomes number 5544 in the Strong's Greek. And let's have somebody go to 1 Thessalonians 2 and someone to 2 Timothy 2. But here in Galatians 5, where it's listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit, or part of the fruit of the Spirit, the word means kindness, mellowness, or forbearance. Okay? And I love the definition Brother Hill used to give. If you forbear somebody, you won't have to bear them. Okay? And Paul talked about the forbearance of God. Okay? He forbore us. He bore us ahead of time. Then in 1 Thessalonians 2, whoever's there, verse 7.
But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children.
And in 2 Timothy 2, verse 24.
And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but the gentle unto, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient.
Okay. These two occurrences of the word gentle are numbered 2261 in the Strong's Greek, and it means mild, easy, or affable. And I had to look up that word affable. I kind of had an idea of what it meant. The dictionary definition for affable means friendly, good-natured, or easy to talk to. I like that.
Yeah.
I like somebody who's easy to talk to.
Yes.
So that's one of the meanings of this word gentleness. Then let's have somebody go to Titus 3, someone to James 3, and someone to 1 Peter 2. And whoever gets to Titus 3, verse 2 there.
To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, gentle, showing all meekness unto all men.
Showing what?
Meekness.
Oh.
Meekness. There's that word meekness again. Huh. One of the qualities gained by saints in the school of affliction. Okay, James 3, whoever's there, verse 17.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Okay. I like knowing that about wisdom, godly wisdom, spiritual wisdom, that it's gentle, that it's easy to be entreated. And then in 1 Peter 2, whoever's there, verse 18.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins.
First Peter 2:18.
Oh, I didn't hear. Sorry about that. Servants subject to masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward.
Okay. These three occurrences of the word gentle, Titus, James, and 1 Peter 2, they're number 1933 in the Strong's Greek. And the word there means patient. That sounds kind of like long-suffering. Patient or equitable. And equitable was something that I wanted to look up again. Equitable, to be equitable, means to be fair-minded or unbiased. And it means patient, equitable. It also means lenient. Okay? So you can't be an Ebenezer Scrooge and have gentleness. So let's look at some of the other occurrences of this word gentleness. If somebody will go to Exodus 33, someone to Psalm 23, someone to Romans 2, and someone to 2 Thessalonians 1. Whoever gets to Exodus 33, read verse 19 for us.
He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy unto whom I will show mercy.
Okay, I like that. And then in chapter 34, verse 6.
And the Lord passed by before him, and The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.
Okay. There's that long-suffering again. It's funny how they all kind of reflect one another. Psalm 23, whoever's there, verse 6.
Your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will
Okay. And in Psalm 27, James, verse 13.
I had faint unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Okay. And then in Psalm 31, verse 19.
Great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men.
Okay. I encourage you to read the 107th Psalm, because that one is full of this word translated, that is translated gentleness. It's not translated gentleness there. In Romans 2, whoever's there, verse 4.
Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?
Ah, there's goodness again and longsuffering. Chapter 11, Hagen, verse 22.
Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off.
Okay. And in chapter 15, verse 14.
And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another.
And whoever's in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11.
Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith and power.
Okay. Now, I didn't mention it before, but all these verses we just read take us into that next facet of the fruit of the Spirit, which is goodness. Okay, Psalm 107. It's not the word gentleness, it's the word goodness that occurs many, many times in that psalm. So the third member of this trio is goodness. In the Old Testament, it's number 2896. And that word means well-pleasing, fruitful, proper, or agreeable. And it describes that which is appealing and pleasant to the senses, that which is good in a moral sense, or the better of all two alternatives.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that last question?
Sure. It's number 2896, and it means that which is appealing and pleasant to the senses, good in a moral sense, or the better of two alternatives. Now, that's one of two words, I should say, actually, that get translated goodness in the Old Testament. There's another one, but we're out of time for tonight, so we'll pick up with that thought then next time. And I hope it's been a blessing to you.